On the hunt for lost ROI? Chart a course and find hidden profit potential with Acuron Corn Herbicide. It's the only herbicide strong enough to bury competing weeds and help you unearth 5 to 15 more bushels per acre. How's that for hidden riches? Uncover the real value of Acuron at Acuron-herbicide.com. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
This is LBC with Vanessa Feltz. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Welcome back. You remember that old rhyme, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But what if the word is war? US President Donald Trump signed an executive order on Friday directing that the Department of Defense will henceforth be known as the Department of War. The move restores a name that the agency last held in the 1940s. And according to the text of the order seen by the BBC, the aim is, and I quote, to project strength and resolve. The department will initially use the new name as a secondary title, while the administration seeks congressional approval to make the change permanent. So what is the significance of this name change? We can also talk about the expense, the cost of this enormous rebranding. Let's discuss this with Simon Marks, LBC's legendary Washington correspondent. Hello, Simon. Good to have you on board again. Hope you're well. This is a huge rebranding. I'm assuming it's a kind of tub-thumping, breast-beating kind of signal of intent. Is that what it is? It's meant to be frightening to the world?
Well, I think it's certainly all of those things, Vanessa. There's no question about that. And the proclamation that President Trump signed yesterday and the comments that he made in the Oval Office as he made this announcement were all rooted in a belief that in the modern era, the Pentagon and the Department of Defense, as it has been known since 1949, has been insufficiently focused on winning wars. Indeed, the president in the Oval Office yesterday suggested America had been failing to win wars because, as he put it, there had been too much wokery that had invaded the Pentagon in its higher ranks. And so he's determined to push back against that. We saw immediate action being taken last night at the Department of Defense, with the sign being taken down outside the secretary's office. It now reads the Department of War, and indeed the nameplate on Pete Hegseth's door now reads Pete Hegseth, Secretary of War. But is this more than simply a rebranding? I think it may well be, because it came in the same week that the Trump administration engaged in the extrajudicial killing, they say, of 11 people who they say were drug smugglers working for Tren de Aragua, the Venezuelan gang, blown out of the water in the high seas somewhere in the Caribbean. They are unable to cite any legal authority for taking that action. They say it was an act to protect the American people because they claim that those drug smugglers were bringing drugs to American shores, although they've provided no evidence to justify those claims. And we do seem to have moved this week, not just in terms of the name change, we do seem to have moved into a new era where the approach of President Trump and his now Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, is very much to shoot first and then ignore questions later. And they've indicated there's going to be more of that kind of action that we witnessed in the Caribbean just a few days ago, more of those actions being taken in the months and years ahead. And indeed, Marco Rubio in Ecuador this week appealed to America's partners in Latin America to join these extrajudicial activities and, as he described it, blow America's adversaries out of the water.
I mean, really, everything you're saying is so incredibly and extraordinarily mind-bogglingly shocking. It's almost amazing to me that you're sitting there charmingly in your suit and I'm sitting there decorously in my dress and we're discussing it as if we're discussing a, you know, cucumber sandwich or a delightful ceremony of some kind that is full of charm and exuding politesse and civilization. I mean, this is beyond shocking, isn't it? So I'm going to ask you what I always ask you, which is, how is it playing out in America? What kind of response is it getting over there?
Well, it's very interesting. I mean, this move to rebrand the Defense Department, the Department of War, President Trump's been talking about it for years, and he's finally followed through on it. And certainly he's campaigned on it, did so last year in the presidential election. And many of his Make America Great Again supporters back the idea. They like the idea of America projecting strength. And remember, much of the projection that President Trump has engaged in, how many times have we talked about him threatening Iran or North Korea with fire and fury, the likes of which the world has never before seen? He has very rarely followed through on those threats, I suppose with the exception of the attack on Iran's nuclear sites a little bit earlier this year. But this does seem to represent a shift in military strategic thinking on the part of a Defense Department that is now completely run by Trump loyalists. Generals within the Defense Department have been put through loyalty tests. Some of them have been removed from their post by Pete Hegseth. They're not brooking any kind of philosophical opposition to their approach at the highest levels of the Pentagon. Where they are running into difficulty is with veterans groups, because the comments President Trump made yesterday in the Oval Office about wokery having held the American military back. You know, I mean, who knew that Richard Nixon, for example, during the Vietnam era, was in some way colonized by woke thinking, and that's why American forces found themselves in a quagmire in Southeast Asia? That has really irritated veterans groups here, who believe that President Trump is talking about conquest and completely ignoring sacrifice.
I was going to ask you which are the wars that Trump is alluding to? In what way does he think that wokery affected military strategy in a negative way? It's absolutely astounding. And as you quite rightly say, desperately offensive to anybody in the military or any of in the armed forces. Astounding thing to say. Way to alienate so many people so very quickly. The other thing that neither of us has yet mentioned is the enormous cost of this name change, because it's not
absolutely.
It's not just sticking an insignia on a couple of t-shirts and some beer coasters. This is a really, really big deal. They're talking about it running into the billions. And wasn't Donald Trump meant to be the person trimming the excess and frowning upon waste and trying to cut costs? Why would you greenlight something so unbelievably pricey? It achieves just a change of name. Amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a complete reversal of the focus that Elon Musk, when he was running the so-called Department of Government Efficiency, which we always have to remind people is not a real government department. It's a complete reversal of that focus on cost cutting. This is going to cost an enormous amount of money, because every single facility all over the world, every single document, every single piece of letterhead, every single business card, every reference to the US Department of Defense, a fixture within the American government since 1949. And remember, they changed the name in 1949 because they were rather hopeful that the era of war was over following the defeat of Germany and Japan in the Second World War. And they wanted to change the emphasis here in Washington on defending the country rather than promoting war outside this country's borders. Well, that rebrand is going to cost an absolute fortune to carry out now. And then, in the event that we get a Democrat back in the White House, it is highly likely that one of the proclamations that they cancel on their first day in office will be the one renaming the Department of Defense the Department of War. So then everything's going to have to be changed back. I mean, it's an extraordinary, total waste of taxpayer money.
Can't help thinking, Jonathan Swift, thou should be living at this hour. Just imagine what he would make of it, how delightfully he'd satirize it, how we'd all enjoy it. Let me ask you two more things. One is about the visit of Nigel Farage to Washington. How was that going? How was that? What was actually happening there?
Well, we've never seen anything like it, Vanessa. I've been here 32 years, and I have. Can you imagine Margaret Thatcher, when she was leader of the opposition, boarding a plane and flying to Washington, D.C. to testify before the United States Congress and complain about the actions of Jim Callaghan in government?
No, I can't.
I mean, an extraordinary moment. Not only complain, but then invite the American Congress, the American government and American businesses to register their objections to what is taking place, according to Mr. Farage, with regard to free speech in the UK. And that astonishing, jaw-dropping comparison that he made of life in the UK to life in North Korea. So to see the leader of a foreign, of an opposition party in the UK travelling here to Washington to urge the House of Representatives Judiciary Committee to take some kind of action to reverse the Online Safety Act in the UK. I mean, in other words, to interfere directly in the UK's business is another extraordinary moment. I mean, you talk about, you know, we sit here week after week. It is hard to keep pace with the scale of change here in Washington, and now the scale of change that is threatened in the bilateral relationship. Because I tell you that once that state visit, what are we now, about 10 days away from Donald Trump's state visit to the UK, once that's over and he's got the picture of the king tucked in his pocket and he clambers aboard Air Force One to fly back to Washington, D.C., there is every likelihood that his government is going to pick up the pace of attacks on Keir Starmer over this free speech issue. We don't know what Donald Trump and Nigel Farage discussed when they had lunch in the White House Wednesday when Farage was testifying here. We don't know what they talked about, but I think it's fairly reasonable to surmise that much of the conversation was focused on what Nigel Farage means.
Honestly, I think you've answered my next American question assistance. Without my even asking it, as you always do. Simon Marks, magnificent contribution, always absolutely astounding every word he utters. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent.